Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to get to be back with everybody. We had a good trip, and hopefully you all had a good holiday as well. God has blessed us with another year. God has blessed us with a wonderful new year, and I want to talk about that this morning. Usually when we're thinking about New Year's, we think about refocusing ourselves and what new things do I want to do this year? How can I refocus on the things that matter? And I hope that this sermon this morning will really help us do that. What better way to focus than to look at God and focus on who He is and let that reorient everything else? And that's what I want to do this morning. I appreciated the song that Neil just led, that song praising God for who He is and what He does and calling all creation together to praise Him. And I hope that this sermon will exalt God as well. When you think about time and you think about the new year, a lot of times we think of, well, I mean, it's just a date on a calendar. I mean, is there really anything different about today from yesterday? And in a big sense, yeah, there's not really anything. I mean, it's just this calendar that we came up with that this, it's a new number. But what's interesting is when you go all the way back to Genesis, to the very first chapter, take a look at the way that creation is described. In Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. It's interesting. I usually think of time as far as years and how the calendar is being a construct of man. And in a sense it was, but in another sense, it was actually created before humans were created. That this concept of years actually predates us. That it was God's idea to set up a system so that we could have days and years and everything. That God's the one who's in charge of time. And yes, we do kind of pick out, here's how the calendar works, but in another sense, it's God's idea. And I was thinking about that more, and thinking about God ruling over time, and this verse came to mind. Over in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Daniel answered and said," this is Daniel praying to God, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." God's in charge of time. He changes time. He starts this time and ends that time. But in a very active way. It's not just that God flips the calendar. He changes what happens in that time. He decides, all right, this time we're going to raise up a new king. At this time we're going to bring down this leader. At this time I'm going to bless this person with wisdom. And at this time I'm going to give them some more knowledge and understanding. God has that power. God's in charge of that. And then another verse that I found on this, in Psalms 31, verse 15, "My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." The psalmist says, my time, you're holding it, God. You hold the future. You're in charge, God. And what the psalmist does with that is he says, so God, because you're in charge of time, could you help me with the challenges I'm dealing with right now? God holds the future. The reason I woke up today was because of God. The reason we will maybe wake up tomorrow is because of God. Whether tomorrow will be a good day or be a very challenging day has a lot to do with God, according to what the psalm says. And then finally, I thought about this verse, James 4:13. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Why did we welcome in a new year? Because the Lord willed it. Hopefully, with God's grace, 2023 will be a wonderful year. And hopefully, with God's grace, we'll maybe even have a 2024.
But according to James, we can't really plan on that, not as far as we know it for sure. If I say, you know, today or tomorrow or next year I'm going to do such and such, I don't know. If the Lord wills, it'll happen. God holds time in his hands. All right, so with that kind of thought, if God holds time in his hands, if God is the one who's in charge of time, if this year exists because of God, what does our feeling, our response, our plan for this new year need to be? How do we approach the new year as Christians if this is what the new year actually is? Well, here's the sermon for this morning. This morning's sermon is titled, My Prayer for the New Year. What I want to do is approach this new year in prayer. If God's the God who's in charge of all of this, then the way we approach the new year is through prayer. And that's what I want to do this morning. We're going to go to Psalm 115, so turn in your Bibles there. And all of this sermon is just going to be going through Psalm 115 that we just read. And I want to go through it and think about it as a prayer, because it is a prayer. It does seem to be praising God. And then think about how we can apply that to this new year, and then I'm going to end a lesson by praying that. Not word for word the psalm, but praying those points to God. We can all pray them together to God for this new year. So, I think this psalm is a great psalm for this concept of God is great, God is the one who rules over this year. How do we approach him? In prayer. All right, well, let's start with verse 1. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. The psalmist begins with asking God to be glorified. And when I think about how should we approach this new year, one of the things that I think, if God gave us this year, if this year is a blessing from God, if the future of what this year holds is in God's hands, then one of the things we should be praying for is that God will be glorified this year. Now, what would it mean for God to be glorified? It's interesting that the psalmist has to specify not us being glorified, God being glorified, because sometimes we maybe get those mixed up where we want to take a lot of credit and we want to be seen for something. And so the psalmist says, my prayer is that I won't be seen, that people won't praise me, that people will praise God more. So, what if we all prayed that for this year? That this would be a year where we ourselves were not glorified, but God was glorified. What if we prayed for God to be glorified in this church? Not for this church to be glorified, but for God to be more glorified in this church. For God to be more glorified in our families. For God to be more glorified in our jobs. What would it look like for us to glorify God in our jobs or in our families? You know, glorifying God is a weird thing because you can't really make God more glorious. God's already infinitely glorious. So when we pray to glorify God, what do we mean? I heard a really neat illustration of this a while back, and you may have heard this one before, but I thought this is a great way of thinking about glorifying God. Glorifying God is not like a magnifying glass or like a microscope. It's more like a telescope. When you use a microscope to magnify something, you have something that's very small, and you want it to look much bigger than it actually is. That's not the way glorifying God is. It's not that we make him any larger than he already is, or make him any more glorious than he already is. Instead, glorifying God is like a telescope, in that when you look at these stars that are so far away, they're so immense and great and glorious, I can't even comprehend how big they are and how awesome they are. But that telescope gives me maybe a little bit more sense of the glory and the greatness of that star. That's what it looks like to glorify God. That we help ourselves, help other people recognize that glory just a little bit more than maybe we have before. So how do we do that? Well, one verse that comes to mind is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right, so one of the ways that we could glorify God this year is through our good works, that as we do a lot of things for God, that people will see that and that they will glorify God. So not just me glorifying God, but other people will see the way I live and that'll cause them to glorify God. So that's one way that we could fulfill that prayer of glorifying God. Another way, this one I found in Acts, and I thought this was really interesting. Here's an occasion when people glorify God, and it's when Paul comes back from one of his journeys. And so here it is, Acts 21, verse 17. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. So basically, Paul tells them about his trip that he just went on and tells them all the different things that happened. And it says, and when they heard it, they glorified God. So Paul tells them about what he'd done and all the teaching and everything, and then they praise God. Now, notice the way it's phrased that he told them. What could Paul have done? He could have said, guys, you would not believe what a tremendous adventure I had. I mean, I got thrown in prison. I preached these amazing sermons. I mean, the whole city came out to hear my sermons. I mean, you would not believe how many people I baptized on this trip. That's what he could have done. But notice what he says instead. He related one by one the things that God had done. Focus was on God. Did he mention that he was in prison? Maybe. Maybe he mentioned about how God got him out. Did he mention that he preached a great sermon? I don't know. Maybe he mentioned how God had helped him with that sermon, or how God had brought so many people and brought so many people to Christ. The way Paul approached it was glorifying God. And so then the response that people gave was they glorified God. Paul really understood this concept that we're seeing here in Psalm 115 of not to us give glory, but to God. And so my prayer for 2023 is that not to us will go the glory, but to God. That God will be much more glorified through the way we live, but also through the way that we relate to ourselves and to the things that God has done. You know, you can live your life doing a lot of good things, and yet it somehow doesn't give a lot of glory to God. If we do a lot of good things, but the focus is on us, it's probably not going to draw that much attention to God. But if we can do good things and do it with an attitude towards God, then other people may see it and see that we're giving the glory to God, and that'll in turn give God the glory. All right, so let's be praying for that. Praying that through this church, through our families, through everything, God will be glorified. And as he says there in Psalm 115, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, that people will see God's love, that they will see his faithfulness through us. All right. Next point. Back to Psalm 115, verse 2. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, and noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. All right, so now the psalmist turns to the world. He's been talking about God being glorified, but now he's talking about the world seeing God's glory. So here's the way I phrase this one. The next point is that the world will see God this year. The psalmist here describes the world not worshiping nothing, but worshiping something that is nothing, worshiping all these idols, and then he talks about how meaningless these idols are. So it's interesting, the world is still worshiping. It's not that there's a lack of religion in the world, but that their religion is just absolutely empty. And the psalmist is kind of mourning how horrible this is, how these people, they're worshiping these things that are just meaningless. And then he finally sums it up by saying, and basically those people who worship those things, they become like them. Now that, I think, is a really true concept. Even when we don't see people bowing down to specific statues today that as much, when we worship something other than God, there is a sense in which we become like it. Now, when we worship God, hopefully we become like God, but when we worship things other than God, many times we become like those things as well. When you think about people, and you've probably known people like this, who just, they pursue things that are just meaningless. That their whole life, the things they talk about, you think, why are you talking about that constantly? Why is that something that you're so excited about? Why is that what matters to you? You can tell it's something that doesn't really matter. And maybe you've known people like that, who they just, the things they're interested in, it's just like, why? And what you notice about these people is, as they pursue these things that are kind of meaningless, you can tell that their life is meaningless. As they pursue these things that are empty, their life is really empty. That if your biggest goal in life is just to get some more money, it's a really small goal, and it's a goal that's probably going to drain you of much of the joy and happiness of what this life is. Or if your goal in life is just to get that promotion at work, probably after you get the promotion at work, you feel like, it really didn't do that much for me. That as you pursue these things that are empty, slowly you become empty and discouraged and depressed, and you just become as nothing as those things that you pursue. That's what the psalmist is seeing in the people around him. And he's praying for these people. He's saying, why should these people act like God doesn't exist? God does exist. He is real. Can't they see that? Can't they see that God is reigning from heaven? Why are they pursuing these things these are the things that are unreal? Why can't they see that God is the one who really has the power? So, one of the things that we can pray for this year is that the world will see God, that this will be a year that more and more people come to God across the world, across this nation, in this community, maybe through our influence, that people will leave all that meaninglessness behind and will come to pursue God. All right? Number three. This is going to be in verse 9. Read with me verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. All right. Number three is that we will trust in God this year. You know, it's one thing to look around the world and think about all these people who are pursuing all these meaningless things. It's another thing to look in my own life and say, well, now, am I pursuing those meaningless things? Am I trusting in something that's not really trustworthy? Am I not putting my trust in God like I should? One of the things we can pray this year is that we will really trust God, that we will really have a strong dependence on Him this year. If God is the one, as we started out the lesson, who holds time in His hand, if God is the one who gave us this year, who holds all the future, who influences the things that are going to be happening, then what I need to be doing is putting my trust in Him and really depending on Him and living by faith in Him. That's what the psalmist is calling for here. And he does it by talking about breaking down all these different groups. The house of Aaron, the priests, all the people, everybody who fears God, anybody, please put your trust in God. So, what could you do this year to really trust God? What would your life look like differently? What decisions would you make differently if this were the year that you were really living in dependence on Him? Would there maybe be some things that we would be doing, that I would be doing or you would be doing, that I'm not doing right now if I was really trusting God like I should? How would that look different in our families if we were really depending on God with everything? Let's pray for that. All right, number four. That's down in verse 12. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. All right, the fourth thing to pray for is that God will bless us this year. Now that's a weird one because you think, well, should you pray for blessings? Isn't that selfish? It's interesting that the psalmist does seem to be asking for blessings. In fact, he says, may the Lord give you increase. May you be blessed by the Lord. That seems to be a prayer for those he's talking to. May God give you blessings. So yeah, I think in a very real sense, we should be praying for blessings. But of course, there's different ways you can pray for blessings. You can pray for blessings in a way that's very self-centered. Or you can pray for blessings in a way that actually glorifies God. If we see God as being the one who holds our future, and if we really learn how to trust in God, then we will be praying for blessings because we'll realize that those blessings do come from God. Because a lot of times the alternative to praying for blessings is, well, I don't want to ask God for that, so I'm going to work really, really hard and not think about God, just work really, really hard so I can get that. And what you end up with is even more self-centered than if we take in those desires to God. And so the psalmist actually asks God to please give us this increase, give us these blessings. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of blessings we could ask for. It might be material things, or we might say, well, you know, those material things, that's actually kind of self-centered. Those things are maybe not what I need. Maybe what I really need, and think about all the vast blessings that God gives us, the ways that he gives us unity in the church, the ways that he gives us growth in the church, the ways he gives us spiritual growth personally, the way that he gives us health, the ways that he takes care of us when we're dealing with temptations or challenges. So many times we regulate blessings to a very limited things of it means how much money is in our bank account. When what the Bible really shows us blessings is all the vastness of everything God gives us. And the psalmist here is wishing, praying for those blessings on us. So, this year, let's pray for God to bless this church. Let's pray for God to bless our families. Let's pray for God to bless each other, to bless us individually, to bless us in the ways that he sees fit, and in some of those ways that maybe we long for and we know we need to grow in. All right, and then number 5, this one's in verse 16. Look in verse 16, it says, the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. All right, I titled this section that we will value each moment this year. This is kind of an odd section the way he describes it. He says, the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he's given to us. So the heaven belongs to God, but the earth he gave to us. What does he mean by that? And then he says something even more confusing. He says, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do those who go down in silence. There's two weird things about that. One is, you think about, well, yes, he's given the world to us, but in a sense it belongs to him too, right? I mean, there's so many verses that say that. And then the whole, the dead don't praise the Lord. Well, what about when we die and we go to heaven? So you're thinking, well, what is he getting at here? What he seems to be doing is really focusing in on personal responsibility. That in a sense he has given us the earth, in a very real sense he's given us the earth to do his will in. That yes, we're responsible to him, but he's given us responsibility here on this earth. So when he says the heavens belong to God, yeah, he's reigning from heaven, and the earth belongs to the children of man, that he's put us here. That's something we have this ownership of that we should be doing something with. And then finally, when he talks about the dead don't praise the Lord, he seems to be taking us to time and saying, there comes an end to the time we have on this earth. If we're going to be praising God on this earth that he's given us, we better be doing it now because there comes a time when that's done. Now, he does also say in verse 18, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So perhaps he also has eternity in view of, yes, there is this praise that goes beyond death. Perhaps that's what he's doing. But when I was thinking about how do you summarize what he's saying here, another verse came to mind, and I think this is very much the thought that he's got going on here. John 9, this is what Jesus says. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So here this is before Jesus cures the man who's blind, heals the man who's blind. And he says, before he does that, he says, I've got to do these works. We need to do these works now while it's still daytime. There is coming a night when we can't do that anymore. So Jesus seems to have this idea of time is running out, that I've got this limited period of time on this earth when I can do this thing, and I got to do it now because eventually it's over. I think that's very much the concept that the psalmist is getting at here when he says the earth God's given to us and the dead don't praise him, but the living do. This idea of we've got this time and this responsibility now, let's use it. So, thinking about it in those terms, that we value each moment this year, I think that's something we need to be praying for this year. That if this year is a gift from God, am I going to treat it that way? Am I going to see this year as today is from God, I'll use it for him. Tomorrow I might not have, so I'll use this day that I have now for what he wants me to use it for. That I won't have to a year from now or 2 years from now live in regret of, I should have done that. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd spent more time with him or with her. I wish I'd said this thing. I wish I'd helped so-and-so. I wish I'd been more devoted to God. I wish I'd lived a life that was more praising to him. I wish I hadn't been so selfish day after day. That I won't have to live in those regrets because I'll see each moment as precious and limited. My prayer is that this year, we will see this year as each day being a gift from God. And what that does is it leads us to the last verse, verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. He ends the psalm right back where he started, that we will glorify God this year. That he started out with, oh God, not to us give glory, to you give glory. And then he ends the psalm with, and we're going to praise you. And so, as we connect this all together, here's the 5 points I got from this psalm. Praying that God will be glorified because God is so great, because he holds the future in his hand, because he's the one who's really ruling, then let's approach this year with God being glorified in everything. Praying that he will be. Praying that the world will come to God this year. Praying that we're going to trust in him, the great ruler, the great sustainer of all things, that we will trust in him more this year. And that he will continue to take care of us and bless us this year. And then, finally, that each moment of this year will be precious and we'll use it for him. That is my prayer for this year. And what I want to do now is I want to close this lesson by praying that. Let's all pray that together. Let's bow. Great, mighty, powerful God, the ruler of all, the one true living God, thank you for giving us this year. Lord, we know that we would not have ushered in 2023 this year if it had not been for your mercy and your grace and your choice to give us this new year. Lord, help us to see that this year comes from you. Help us to see that you are great and you are ruling, you are on the throne, and that you are worthy of all praise. And so, God, we ask that you will be glorified this year, that in everything you will be exalted, that in this church you will be praised more and more, that in our families your love will be known, that our children will see your love and your faithfulness, that those around us will see that, that those at our work, at our jobs, at school, wherever it may be, that people will see your goodness and your glory. And Lord, by seeing that, we pray that not only will you be glorified, but you will be glorified by those people coming to you. Lord God, we know that there are so many people who are just completely lost in the dark right now, who are pursuing things that are just meaningless and do not matter. And Lord, it breaks our hearts to see so many people around us who are just pursuing nothing. And Lord, please help the world to see that you are the only one who matters, that you are truly the one who's in charge, and help them to turn and give their lives to you and to truly live for you. And Lord, make us agents of that. Help us to be able to share that wonderful news with those around us. to point them to you and to show them that you truly are the one who's in charge. Lord God, help not only the people around us, but help us. Help us to learn to trust in you. Please help us to live a life of faith this year. Lord, it is so hard to depend on you sometimes, that so many times we just we get distracted with so many other things, and we don't keep our focus and our eyes on you. And Lord, we know we could do so much more for you if we just depended on you more. So God, strengthen our faith this year. Help this year to be a year that each one of us will really grow in our faith and will really look to you in every circumstance. And Lord, as we do that, as we trust in you, and as we lean on you, Lord, please bless us. Please be with us and fulfill the needs that we each have. Lord, please give us gifts according to your grace and your mercy. Give us the things that you see fit. Lord, we know that you are the giver of all good things. We know that when we receive good gifts, it is from you. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us this day our daily bread, and that you give us all of the things that you see that we need, and that you continue to sustain us both physically and spiritually, and you help us to have and to be the who you want us to be. Lord God, and help us with throughout all of this, help us to, most of all, value the moments that you give us. Each day, each hour, each year, help us to see that these are your gifts, and help us to use these moments as though they are precious, to realize how important they are, and not to waste any of it, not to have to look back with regret, but instead to use each moment for you and for your glory, so that in all things you will be praised. Oh Lord God, please be praised this year. Please be glorified. Help this year of 2023, to be a year for you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian, then we want to invite you to come forward this morning and give your life to God, the great King, the great ruler, the one who holds time in his hand, to give your life to him, to give every moment to him. If you're subject to that invitation, then please come forward while together we stand and sing.